that is stalking his prey. They're looking for an animal. They're looking for something that is not being vigilant, that's not watching, that's not on guard. Satan is looking for those that are not being intentional in their Christian walk. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." It's a responsibility of a church leader to watch for souls, to be on guard as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. So as we think about the first section there, the first phrase or first characteristic is to watch here, to be on guard, to be diligent, to be on alert, to be on the lookout. That's something that we want to take note of in our Christian walk, but also a characteristic that's important for a church leader. The second phrase there that Paul gives us in verse 13 is to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. And this goes right along with watching. Not only are we watching, we're on guard, but we know where we stand. We stand fast in the faith. If we were to back up just a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So I think it's interesting how Paul, here in verse 58 of chapter 15, he says to be steadfast, be unmovable. And then in verse 13, again, he tells us to stand fast. I think Paul recognized our human nature of drift, our human nature of sliding along. And he's saying, don't do that. Be steadfast, be unmovable. Don't allow the drift to pull you along. Stand fast in the faith. As people, or just as you know, we talk about society, there's just a lot of pressures, a lot of I don't know, ideas, thoughts, different things that get thrown our way all the time as people, but as leaders. And so we need leaders that are willing to be steadfast, they're being willing to be unmovable, willing to stand fast in the faith, hold their position. Not thinking of a stubbornness or uncooperativeness or just resisting anything new or just resisting all change, but knowing where they stand, knowing what they believe, being willing to stand there. And if you want to think about it, standing in the stream of a current and being willing to be fixed there and knowing what they stand on, stand fast in the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Catch that? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's not standing fast. That's the opposite of being steadfast. But we are not to do that. We're not to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men or cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Standing fast in the faith is not being carried about by every wind of doctrine. It's where we are committed to God's word. We're standing fast on God's word, adhering to the principles, the practices, the teachings of God's word, and willing to stand diligently on that. I think we recognize as well that the Church of Christ is under attack. It's not something new. It's not something that just started here recently. Satan is out to destroy the Church of Christ, and it just sometimes amazes me how there is just a continual push against the church. And that's to be expected. That's to be expected, that continual push against the church. But we do not need to let that drift, that push, come into our church or into our faith, into the Anabaptist way of life. Doctrine, theology, things that we have held to are appropriate for us to continue to hold to and to continue to stand fast on. The other Saturday, Jonathan Kinner at Equippers made the statement. He said that culture is always the door. I lost it. I should have wrote it down. Do you remember what he said, hon? It's something along the lines that culture is always the door through which deception will enter the church, or through which the drift will enter the church. Something along those lines. Culture is always the door that will pull the church away from sound doctrine. The door that drift will come into the church and pull it away. So we always have to be on guard. We always have to be willing to stand fast, to be stable, and to be steadfast upon God's word. Hebrew, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, holding fast to the faith." Stand fast in the faith. So we talked about on guard. We talked about standing fast in the faith, not being tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Then the King James verse 13 says, quit you like men. That's a great phrase, quit you like men, which means to be brave. Be brave. You know, there are times as leaders that we simply need to be brave. There's times as people that we simply need to be brave. Whatever may be coming our way, whatever we may be facing, there's times we need to courageously simply step into that and to be brave. I thought about as I was preparing for this and just thinking about the idea of being brave. I reflect as a young boy, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, we lived on a farm and we did not have a garage where that was close to that was attached to the house. Rather, there was the tobacco shed, we called it, or the barn out back is where Dad parked the car. And so I remember coming home late at night or coming home in the evening. I thought it was late. It probably wasn't that late, but it was dark outside. And Dad would pull up to the walks where the dusted on light was that was well lit and went up to the house that was well lit the path or the walks up to the house. He would drop us off and then he would drive out back to park the car in the tobacco shed or in the barn. And there was no lights out there. I don't think there was electricity in that building even, but it was just totally dark. And then he would walk back the, I don't know, 40 yards or so back to the house from the tobacco shed or from the barn in complete darkness. And this just, oh, wow, Dad is just so brave. He goes out there and parks the car in the dark and then just finds his way into the house, comes into the house, and it's just totally dark. And that just was something I reflected on as I was preparing for this of how brave I thought my father was. And he was. He was brave. You know, I thought about that in relation to our spiritual lives or to our responsibilities that God gives us. Sometimes it feels like we are stepping out in the dark as people, as leaders, as Christian, whatever it might be. It feels like we're stepping out into the dark. We know where we want to go. Like maybe Dad knew where the house is. He knew how to get there, but yet the pathway to get there is dark. And we're not exactly sure what it looks like, how it goes along the way, but we need to step out and be brave. We need to be brave in stepping out in that God has called us to. I'm not thinking of a bravery that is brash or that's pushy or just bowls people over and just you know, this is what we have to do. But rather I'm thinking of a bravery that is rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. In the work of Jesus, what Jesus has done, his victory over death, sin, death, and the grave. He is the one, Jesus is the one that has displayed bravery as he went to the cross for us. And that gives us the strength to be brave in our Christian lives, gives us the strength to be brave in following Jesus, a bravery that is rooted in our identity in Jesus, in who we are as a Christian in Christ. So when you choose sometimes to be on guard and you choose to stand fast in the faith, there are times that you need to be brave and to stand in the faith with bravery. Then Paul goes on, so he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be brave. And then he follows that right up with be strong. So this be brave, be strong, they go hand in hand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The qualification of being strong in the Lord, not in our own strength, not in what we have to offer, not in who we are, who we think we are, but being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That strength is found through lives that are totally surrendered to Jesus, totally surrendered to God, and God's strength, God's power is able to flow through us. And God is able to be strong through us, not because of us, not because of who we are, because of what God has done. And as we are surrendered to him, you know, I think of Joshua in the Old Testament, widely heralded as a brave, strong man. Yet several times throughout Joshua 1, I think in four different times, in verse 6, 7, 9, and 18, the Lord told Joshua to be strong. The Lord reminded him to be strong. And so I think of him as a strong one, a strong man, a hero of faith. But yeah, God had to remind him at times to be strong in his strength, to be strong in the Lord. Again, it's not a strength in our abilities. It's not of who we are, not our training or what we have learned in life, but that we are strong in the Lord, as Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, that we are strong in his power and in his might for his honor and for his glory. Four qualifications that we pulled out of there, verse 13, watch ye, be on guard, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, or be strong, be brave, and be strong. And so then the last one that we want to highlight out of these verses, verse 14, where Paul says, it's almost like Paul brings some balance there. So we get from verse 13, we get an idea of being these bold, brave people just charging out and just going out and doing what needs to be done. But then Paul tampers that a little bit with verse 14. He says, let all your things be done with charity. Let all your things be done with love. The qualification of love, a heart that is filled with love, love for people, love for God, love for the gods, for the church, filled with a love for God and his people. Let all your things be done with love. In other words, Paul is saying, not just out there just being a dominant, I don't know, person that's just bowling people over, just plowing ahead, but love is how it's all wrapped together. A heart of love. Ephesians chapter 4, I referenced this earlier, verse 14, we talked about that we're not to be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. But then verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. There's two things that I note from that verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. The first is that truth is to be spoken. We are called to speak truth. We are called to deliver truth. We are called to, at times, to speak truth, even when it's not very comfortable for us, or it's not very something that we want to do necessarily. But the truth that is founded upon the authority of God's word, we are called to speak that. We are called to be a representation of the truth. Christians are to speak the truth. So we are to speak the truth. The second thing that I note that with is that we are to speak the truth in love. Wrap that truth in love, lovingly speaking the truth. You know, we should get no pleasure or no joy if the truth that we have spoken angers somebody or upsets them. That should not bring us joy or pleasure. Rather, we should consider, was it a reaction to the truth that we gave, or was it the way that we delivered the truth? Was that truth delivered in love? Speaking the truth in love. In today's world, today's society, we need leaders that are full of truth and love, willing to speak the truth in love, willing to speak the truth in love, no matter what that is, that God's love, that we are simply a channel for the love of God to flow through us, willing to speak the truth with the love of God. So five qualities that we highlight here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, be on guard, stand fast, keeping our footing, keeping where we belong in the faith, being brave, being strong, and doing all things with love. That's what we're called to, not just for church leaders. That's what we're all called to as Christians, is to be living out these characteristics in our lives each and every day. And as well, thinking about leadership in the church, these are characteristics that we want to highlight here this evening. So I do want to clarify, or I do want to bring some balance just as we think about this, as we think about the opportunity on Sunday for a nomination. At times, I think we can think about, we set the bar so high that we wonder, you know, is anybody available? Are the qualifications so high? Who can attain? But we're not looking for perfection. We're not looking for someone who's perfect. We're not looking for someone who has no failures or weaknesses, because I wouldn't qualify. None of us would qualify. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for somebody who is available for the grace of God to use them as God desires, as God sees fit. We're not seeking perfection, but we are interested in the direction. We're interested in, where is somebody going? Are they growing more and more like God? Is their heart desiring to become greater and greater like Christ, as Jesus, more and more like him? We don't want to raise the bar so high that nobody attains or nobody is available, but we are interested in somebody that is striving to grow more and more like Jesus, which is what we all should be doing. All of us in our Christian lives should be continually striving to grow more and more like Christ, continually working to become more and more like Jesus and being a better representation of him in our daily lives. So as we look forward to Sunday, Lord willing, Sunday morning, Brother Leon Sensnick, he's from the Myerstown district, or from Myerstown, will be here to share the second qualification message. and then also assist with the nomination process. As we look forward to that, as we anticipate that, there's three actions that I would like to ask of you for this week, or for the rest of this week and into Sunday. First of all, is to pray. Continue to pray. I know you've already been doing that. I would ask that you continue to do that. Continue to pray as we look forward to Sunday. Maybe if you have the opportunity to exercise the discipline of fasting along with that, pray and fast for what God has for us on Sunday. Second action that I would like for you to do is to ponder the qualifications that we looked at here in 1 Corinthians 16. Ponder those qualifications, read 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, the qualifications listed there, and ponder who would God have for you to nominate as part of the nomination process. Remember that we're not looking for perfection. We're not looking for somebody that has it all put together, but we're looking for somebody who is desiring to continue to walk and grow in God and willing to be available for the work of God. So we pray, we ponder, and then the third action is for Sunday morning is to participate, is to come prepared Sunday morning to participate in the nomination process, which I believe is an honor. I believe it's an important way of doing the work that we have, is that we all have the opportunity to participate and to be involved in that. So continue to pray, continue to, and then to also ponder, and then to participate on Sunday morning. I'm going to review at this time the plans document that was distributed maybe roughly a month ago, I believe. The Deacon Ordination Plans document. I'm just going to read through that again, review that, highlight a few things on that, just again, refresh that in our minds in preparation for Sunday. This is the procedure we plan to use in the process of ordaining a deacon to assist in the work at Word of Life Mennonite Fellowship. The counsel of the congregation was taken and was affirmative for moving ahead with an ordination. Qualification messages will be given on the following dates: this evening, Wednesday evening, September 24th, and then, Lord willing, Sunday morning, September 28th, Brother Leon Sensnick will be here to share a second qualification message. After the message on Sunday, on September 28th, the membership will be given the opportunity to present nominations to Leon, myself, Brother Earl, Stan, and Levi. We'll be involved in that. Each member has the privilege to be involved in the nomination process. A minimum of three nominations will be required for one to be considered for ordination. If more than one is nominated, willing to serve, the lot will be used to ascertain the Lord's will. I just want to highlight with that one, that's the first sentence in that paragraph there says, each member has the privilege to be involved. And so I encourage you, as you think forward to Sunday, the opportunity to be involved. We're a small congregation. If you can't be here, it talks later on about the absentee nominations. Use that opportunity for absentee nominations to be involved in the nomination process. You know, as sometimes as we think about the nomination process and we feel that and we give a name and then that brother's not chosen or not in the lot, we feel, well, I misheard God or I wasn't in tune with God. Not at all. You are fulfilling what you felt, what you had, the information you had, and there's no shame in that. I would rather people be involved than to shy away from the process. It's an opportunity that you have to be involved in the nomination process. Married couples are welcome to come to the council room together. They will be given the opportunity to present nominations individually or jointly. If the couple gives the same name, it is your choice to be counted as one or two votes. Absentee nominations may be given to myself in a sealed envelope prior to the service on Sunday morning, September 28. The envelope shall be clearly marked on the outside, nomination for ordination at Word of Life. It shall include the name of the person nominating and the nominee. There shall only be one nomination per envelope. These will be opened after receiving nominations from the ministry and before receiving in-person nominations from the membership. Brethren who are eligible for nominations, Brethren who are eligible for nomination are those who meet the biblical qualifications for ordination, which are outlined in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, and are actively involved members of Word of Life Mennonite Fellowship. And maybe just to clarify on that point as well, we have several brothers, several people that are in the process of making membership transfer. Brian Nolte and Jim and Charlene, and I think Alvin and Jenica are also interested in membership transfer. They would not be considered eligible since they are not yet members here at Word of Life. So I just wanted to clarify that portion as well. Names of the nominees will be announced before dismissal on September 28th on Sunday. If you have any concerns about the nominees, please contact myself before Monday evening, September 29. Nominees and their wives will be asked to complete a doctrinal questionnaire. The questionnaires will be reviewed with each nominee by Michael Burkholder. The assisting bishops and the faith district ministry will also review the questionnaires, followed by an interview with each nominee and spouse on Thursday evening, October 2nd. The one who is called will be asked to adhere to Keystone's policy for the ordained in the wearing of the plain suit and the cape dress. Lord willing, the ordination will be held at 2:30 p.m. Sunday afternoon, October 5, at Faith Mennonite Fellowship, and Brother Ted Steinrock will share the message. Just note that the location for the ordination is planned to be at Faith, so we have ample room for seating as well as the flow for the meal that follows the ordination service. We appeal to all members to devote yourselves to prayer for the process of this important work of choosing and ordaining a deacon to serve among us. It is our desire to work together in the unity of the Spirit and to seek the Lord's will and blessing for the work of His kingdom in the congregation, in the Word of Life congregation. In the name of Christ, Michael Burkholder, Earl Martin, Stan Musser, and Levi Brubaker. So what I would like to do now is we'll break into groups for prayer here this evening. I think what we'll do is we'll stay together as families or as couples, and I think probably three groups would work okay. Let's do this. Let's have Clyde's Bench and Forward be a group. And Levi, if you want to lead out that prayer time in that group, why don't you all just stay right where you're at? And then Jim and Harold's Bench, you guys can be a group. And maybe you just want to kind of cluster at the back of the church and the back benches there. I think we can all stay here in the auditorium if that's okay, if we can all pray together in that way. So Jim's Bench on back. And Stan, do you want to join that group and give leadership to prayer there? And then what we'll do is we'll have the youth. You guys can just move front to the very front bench, all the youth, and we'll have Grant lead out, and then the youth can pray as they will, and Reagan will close. How about if we do that? Okay. And the remaining couples and families will just kind of go towards the back, and I'll join that group and give leadership to the group back there. Make sense? Everybody know where they're going? So you guys can move front of bench or two, and the Jim and Harold's bench can move back to the back, and Stan will join.